the point was.
Okay, Daf. We're on to Daf Yud Aleph. Did we finish? We didn't finish till the bottom. We got up to.
Yes. No.
Avshalom is Gav Asara, yeah, the two dots. Okay, so we said Avshalom was proud of his hair, and that's how he got his punishment that he just caught by the hair on the branch. Tana Rabbanu Linda Brice, Avshalom Bisari Morad. He rebelled with his hair. Shenemar Avshalom Lehoya Ish Yofa. There was nobody as good looking as Avshalom, Vegomer. Of a Golchus Rosha, when he would cut his hair, he left his hair long. That means once a year, when it got too heavy, he would cut his hair. He chovered a lot because it got too heavy. And he cut it. He weighed his hair, and it was Masayim Shkolim Be'Evan HaMelech. It was 200 shkolim in the measurement called Evan HaMelech, which was a. High quality Evan stone. There's a Tana within the price of Evan, chanted it's very much Tzipori Shoklimbo. It was that stone that the people at Tzipori and Tzipori used, the upper class weighers. So he was very attached to it. Well, I don't know if he was attached to his hair, except when he cut it. He felt very happy with his hair. The fichach nitla b'sari. Therefore, he ended up getting hung by his hair. Shenemar, vayikra Avshalom l'ftei avdei David. So during the war, when Avshalom's people against David's people, so Avshalom called them before avdei David, and what happened was Avshalom roichev al hapered. He was riding on the mule, and he was in battle and running. I don't know where. Vayovei hapered tachas sevacha elag doila. The mule passed underneath the branch of the big tree. His head got stuck on the branch. And he was suspended between heaven and earth. It was hanging by his hair on the tree. And the mule kept going, and he was pulled off the horse, and he was hanging by his hair on the tree. Shokos of Sira, so he took his sword. Boy, the Mitzvah was going to cut his hair to. So he would get off being stuck. He was going to chop the hair. At that time, there was Gehenim was underneath him, was opened up underneath him. So he decided not to fall into it. So what happened was they killed him, like we said yesterday, that he got, there were 10 people with swords, and then Yoav stuck 3 arrows in him. As the king found out about it, and he got really upset. When Yigas HaMelech, king got angry, Vayal Aliyas Hashar, he went up to the top, upstairs, the attic of the gate, Vayevkin, he cried, Vachayam Balechta, and this is what he was saying, Bini Avshalim, my son Avshalim, Bini Avshalim, Mi Yitain Musani Tech Avshalim, it would have been better if I would die instead of you, my son Avshalim, Bini, my son, Vamelech Lot, Espana, Vayazak HaMelech Golgotel, Bini Avshalom, Avshalom, Bini, Bini. So he said, if we count them, I think 8 times Bini. I hope so, because the Gemara says, yeah. So he was, it was his son. He had told the soldiers to go easy on him, even though he was rebelling against the king, but it was his son. So he said, capture him, but don't hurt him. But they didn't listen, and they killed him. So David got all mourning, and he said Bini 8 times. Is Hani Tamni Bini Lama? Why did he say 8 times Bini? Shiva da Aske Mishiva Medur Gehenim. So 7 was to get him out of the 7 levels of Gehenim. The Idach and the 8th one, Ika the army, the Kariv Resh Lagabe Gufa. One says that when he died, his head was chopped off, and to get his head and his body together, so that was one. And Ika the army, the Isil Amad Asi, that the 8th one was to bring him to Elam Haba, so 7 to get him out of Gehenim, and the 8th was to bring him to Elam Haba. So Avshalom, he created for himself a monument dedicated to himself in his life, and it's Yad Avshalom, yeah? So he made this. My lokach, so it says he took. What did he take? Amrish lokach, a lokach mekach vala atzmoy. That he took it means he took a bad, he bought something that was a dad, a lemon. He made a bad deal. Yeah, and so, what did he put there? A monument in the valley of the king. The whole plan that Avshalom had, that he was going to make himself to be the king, was something that came to him from the Eitzah of Hashem, that Hashem made it happen. Dichsiv, top of the page, that it was all because of it was a punishment for David after the Maisel Basheva, that David was punished with children who gave him grief. Good word. So that was one of them. So that's why it's called Emek Hamelech Meitza Amuka. The deeper plan was Hashem's plan. It's the same thing. When Yaakov sent Yosef to see how his brothers are doing with the sheep over there in Parshas Vayeshev, so it says he sent him from the valley of Chevron. What do you mean, the valley of Chevron? Amar Achanina Bar Papa Beitza Amuka Shal Yosef Tzadik Shekava Bechevron. It was all part of the grand plan of the Eitzah, the deep plan, deeply plotted plan of the Tzaddik who was buried in Chevron, which is Avraham Avinu. It was all part of the plan. Because by Yosef going there, and then the brothers captured him, and the brothers sold him, and he went down to Egypt, and that was the beginning of going down to Egypt, all because Yosef went to see how his brothers were doing with the sheep. So why did he send him? Because it was all part of the grand plan. Tchsiv. Because Hashem said to Avraham, Yodea teidaki ger yezaracha. Hashem said to Avraham that your children are going to be strangers in a strange land. So they were going to go to Egypt. And therefore this whole thing of Yosef going to the brothers and them getting sold and the whole story was all a way of carrying out the grand plan. So what did Avshalom do? He built this monument for himself, Ki Omar Ein Li Bein. Because he said, I don't have a son, so I'll make a monument which will be a memory of me. Freder Gemara v'lehavale boni, didn't Avshalom have any sons? V'aksiv, it says, v'yevoldel Avshalom shleisha boni, v'vasach Avshalom had three sons and one daughter. As the Pasuk says in Shmuel. Yeah? There's Omar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, shleihavale ben hagel l'malchus. What he meant was, he didn't have a son who was going to be suitable to being king, so he thought, it's not going to become a memory for me. No one's going to ever. It's not going to be something that goes down in history. So therefore, he built for himself this monument. Rav Chizda, Omer Rav Chizda says, Gemiri, we have a tradition that call us Seirif Tuasai Shachaveiroi. Somebody who burns somebody else's grain, Einem Niach Ben Liyorshe, will not end up with a son to inherit him. What do you mean, burn someone else's grain? He burnt Yoyev's grain. It says that he said to his servants, here, look, we're next to Yoyev. Yoyev, of course, was David's general, so he was the enemy for Avshalom. And he said, look, there is Yoyev's field, and he's got their barley growing in the field. Go and burn it in fire. And they burnt it in fire. So we learn a Gemara. Rav Chizda says that the punishment for burning someone else's crops is that a person ends up without having a son to inherit from him. So I don't know if that means literally that his sons didn't last longer than him, or figuratively that his sons weren't worthwhile. But that's what you get. Okay, now we've finished all of that evil stuff. So now the Mishnah said, "V'chein in ha'toiva." We talked about midah keneged midah, that a person's actions reap consequences that are similar to the action. So he says the same on the good side. What was on the good side? Miriam. Miriam waited for Moshe. Yeah. So therefore, the reward was that everybody waited for her when she was mitzoira. Fred the Gemara midami. How can you say it was a midah keneged midah? Hasam chadashata. When Miriam was waiting by the side of the Red Sea to see what happens with Moshe when it was in the basket, it was a small amount of time. It was an hour, maybe, I don't know, whatever. Ahacha shiva yomi. But when the desert, when they waited for Miriam, they waited for 7 days till her tzaras was finished. So that's not mida connected mida. That's 1 hour for 7 days. Is out of proportion. So we should say that for good it's not like that. But for good you get much more than what you did. When you're bad, then you get punishment according to what you did. When you're good, you get a reward even better than what you did. The Mishnah says that it's the same. So what do you mean? It's not any kain. Elo amar Rava. Rava says achikatani v'chelin natoiva, that it's also the ba'isa mida, and it's qualitatively it's the same idea. When we say mida k'neged mida, it doesn't mean exactly the measure quantitatively; it means qualitatively. Ba'isa mida, you get the same type of consequence. But of course, in volume, in quantity, a good thing is going to be greater. So qualitatively, it was the same idea. She waited for him, and they waited for her. But it was not. It doesn't mean they waited exactly the same amount of time. So what happened? It says that his sister, Moshe Rabbeinu's sister, stood from a distance. This pasuk is all hinting at Hashem. But Teisatzav refers to Hashem. Hashem came and stood. So the word Vanesatza refers to Hashem also. Achoisai, even though it says his sister, Poshup Shad is Miriam, but it refers to Hashem. Dechsiv, Emer Lechachma Achoisai At. Shlomo Melech says, say to wisdom, you are my sister. And why is that Hashem? Rashi says, because Chachma comes from Hashem. Merachek, he stood from the side. Dechsiv, Merachek Hashem Nirali. So Merachek refers to Hashem also. Ledea.
This is what you have these aren't Zeh Lashavas, but the whole idea is that you have to get it from you.
No, this is Drush.
Yes, no, but I'm saying, but the point is you've got
Milam
also.
Yeah, you could, yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Ledea d'chsiv, kikel deis Hashem. Hashem is the God of knowledges. Yeah. Ma, then the next word, so Vayava, it says there, Vatisatsev Esay Barachik, she stood from a distance, Ledeya Ma Yayaseloi, to see what will be done to him. So far we did Vatisatsev Achesem Erachik, Ledeya, and the next word of the Pasuk is Ma. What's Ma? Dechsev Ma Shamalakecha Shaba Imach. So again, Ma is Shamalakecha. And then Yayaseh, Dechsev Kelayasa Shamalakim Dover, that Hashem will not do anything, and Loi, Dechsev Ayikra Loi Hashem Shalom. So all of these words of that whole pasuk are found in reference to Hashem. So he says the whole pasuk is a hinting that Hashem was keeping an eye on him, not just Miriam. Okay, well, next one. Vayakom Melech Chadash. Now that we mentioned there about so we're now that we talked about Miriam waiting for Moshe, so we're in the so that takes us back in time to the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah, this is the beginning of the redemption from Egypt. So therefore, now that we go on to something about a bit about that story. First of all, it says in the beginning of Parashas Shmos, what happened was, how did they become slaves? Vayakom Melech Chadash al Mitzrayim. Simple translation, a new king arose who didn't know about Yosef, and he wasn't friendly to the Jews, and therefore he enslaved them. V'chulu. It's Vayakom Melech Chadash. So first of all, what does it mean he was a new king? It's Rav Shmuel. So there was an argument between Rav and Shmuel. Chado Amar Chodosh Mamish. One says, a simple translation, there's a new one, the old one died, and there was a new pharaoh. V'chado Amar Shnitz Chatzug Zeh Roysov. That His decrees changed. He changed his outlook, but he wasn't a new person, the same guy. Ismad Amar Chodosh Mamish. So according to the one who says that it was really a new person, Dechsiv Chodosh, that's his reasoning is because it says it was a new king, so that's why he says it's a new king. Why does he not say simple translation that he is a new king? It doesn't say that the old king died and the new one took over. So just Vayakom Melech Chadash is not the usual thing you say. When kings change, usually it says Vayamos so and so, Vayimlech Tachlov so and so else. But it doesn't say that, so therefore he says it's the same person, just that he changed his attitude. And what about this new king? If he didn't know Yosef. If he's the same guy, what do you mean he didn't know Yosef? He acted like he didn't know Yosef. He knew him. He knew about him. Everyone knew about the story of Yosef, but he didn't know about him. Is what happened. He said to his people, these people of Bnei Yisrael are here. And then he said, let's make them slaves. It's Tana within the Braisa. Who his chuba eitzot chila? He was the one who had the bright idea. He started it himself. Himself lefichach lakat chila. Therefore, he was the one who first got smitten. Who his chuba eitzot chila? Where do we see that he started off with the whole idea first? He was the one who said to his people, let's make them slaves. Lefichach. Therefore, lakat chila. He got when the plagues came. He always got it first. This is by the frogs. It says, you'll get the frogs on you, and then on your people, and then on everybody else. So you first, because you started it, you get first. He says to his people, let us be wise to them. To him. What do you mean to him? Who's him? It should be them. Lahem. To the Lahemi boyle. Them is 600,000 people. No, he was concerned about one person. He was concerned, let's find out who was going to be the savior of the Jewish people. And so therefore, Allah, he wanted to make sure he catches that one person, which was end up being Moshe Rabbeinu. And so he said to his people, what should we do? How should we get them? What judgment should we pass on them? If we'll throw all the kids in fire, fire is not good because God has power in fire. God is in the fire. If we tell them to throw all the kids in the fire, God's in the fire, it won't work. He'll protect them. Hashem judges in fire. Should we tell them to kill all the babies with swords? It's called Boston. That's also Hashem. Hashem is a sword too. So a sword is God's trick. It's his domain. It's not a good idea to start up with God on his own domain. So he said, let's try water. Why did he think water would be successful? Because after the flood of Noah, Hashem promised that he's not going to make any more floods. So he thought, God can't punish us or he can't fight with us if we do water, because he's not going to bring a flood on us. These are waters of comfort. That's it. After May Noach, the rest of the Vagoymer is, that I promised that there won't be any more waters of floods like Noach. So therefore, they thought they were safe by using water, and that's why they said throw all the kids into the Nile River, They didn't know, maybe. The promise was not to bring a flood to wipe out the whole world at once. But a flood that will come in one country, that could happen. There's no guarantees of no floods anywhere. Inami, who ain't a maybe? Or a different explanation is that he wouldn't bring a flood out of nowhere to come and flood them. But they will come and fall in the water. When they all drowned in the Yamsuf, it wasn't that Hashem brought a flood from somewhere. They fell into to where the Yamsuf was, and he made the water stop standing up. The Egyptians were traveling into the water to greet it. So literally you would translate that the Egyptians were punished for the thing which they planned, Zodu Lashin Mezi, that they intentionally plotted against the Jews. But he says Zodu comes from the word cooking. They were cooked in their own pot. In the pot that they cooked, they got cooked themselves. They were cooked in their own pot. In English we say they were hoisted at their own petard, right? My mash with the high zodu lishdikaderahu. How do I know zodu means cooking in a pot? Dichsiv ayazad Yaakov nazid. It says that the next expression told us when Yaakov was cooking lentils, which he ended up exchanging with Esau for the birthright. So it says vayazad, he cooked. Okay, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Simoi shloishahayu ba'isa eitzah. There were three wise men. Paro had three wise men who were involved in this idea to make the Jews slaves. Who were they? Bilam and Eov and Yisro. Is Bilam Sheya'atz? Bilam who actively participated in the advice. Nerak. So in the end, he got killed later on when they were in the desert. Eov Sheshosak. Eov who abstained. This is like, in the UN. You have the most people vote against, and then you have a Fuchachomim who are too gutless to vote against, so they abstained. So that was Eov. Eov abstained. So what happened? Nidan b'yisurin. For abstaining, he was punished with all the tzoras of Eov. We know what happened to Eov. He had all the troubles, yeah? He lost his kids, he lost his wealth, he lost everything. That was Eov. And Yisroi, Shabarach, Yisroi said, I'm not involved in this, I'm running away. Yeah, Yisroi ran away and didn't take part. Is Zachu Mibnei Bonov, to Yashkul, Lishka Gozis. So Yisroi, of course, converted, and his grandchildren ended up sitting in Lishka Sagozis, in the, where the Sanhedrin sits in the Beis HaMikdash. Shanemar, Mishpacha Soifrim, families of Talmid Chachamim, Yeshva, Yavitz, Tirasayim, Shibasayim, and Suchsim, Hema, HaKenim, this is the Kenim, Haboyim, Mimachmas Avi, Beis Rechev. So the Keni came from Rechev, and that was all the different names of Yisroi, and they sat there. Yeshva Yavitz, as Yavitz means a person who is a Godel B'Torah, actually says. So, and yeah,
isn't Yisroi running away very similar to Eyoiv being silent?
Because he said no.
He had to run away
because Paro didn't like him anymore. No, Yisroi voted no. Yeah. That's what Bilam says later. When Bilam says, Vayaris Akeni, yeah, and he says, Eisam Meshavecha, he says, I don't understand. We were there, sitting there together with Paro making this Eitzah, and I ended up over here, and you ended up with them. How did that happen? Well, that's the answer, because he voted yes, and Yisroi voted no. Okay, then it says, V'nilcham bonu v'olam min ha'aretz. Just by the way, the words Tirasayim and Shemasayim Masuchsim, Tirasayim refers to the Trua of Har Sinai. Shemasayim, they listened to the mitzvahs of their father. And Suchsim, that they, because they sat in Sukkos, these are all hints to the Keni, the converts from the family of Yisroi, who all ended up taking part in, they became Gerim and they became part of the Jewish people. Okay, two dots. V'nilcham bonu v'olam min ha'aretz. Pari says, He will fight with us, and he will go out of the land. He'll be kicked out of the land. So the Gemara asked, what do you mean he'll be kicked out of the land? Alino Mipoyle will be kicked out of the land. What he was saying was that there are going to be more of them. It's the demographic problem. There'll be so many, there'll be more Jews than Egyptians, and then eventually they'll take over and kick us out. It's almost, so why did he say that he will be kicked out? He should have said that we'll be kicked out. He didn't want to even say the words. So instead of saying we'll be kicked out, he said they will be kicked out, but he meant himself. He was just saying it in a way. He didn't want to curse himself, so he cursed it and he said about somebody else, but he meant himself. So what do they do? They put upon him officers to collect to ensure the duties were paid. Again, why do you say Allah? Alehem Iboyle, it should be on them, on the people. What happened was they took a brick, the form that you use to make bricks, a brick container. And they hung it around Pari's neck. When they tried to get the Jews to work, any Jew who would say, I'm too delicate, I can't do such manual labor, they would say to him, you're not any more delicate than Pari, and Pari's got a brick. Pari walks around with a brick around his neck, so you can do bricks as well. Sorry, misim, what does he call it? Misim, davar, shemesim, levani, the thing that they put, the bricks in. In order to afflict him with the burden, again it says anoisoi is anoisami poile. It should afflict them, the people. So he said, "Laman anoisoi the fire to afflict Pari, but sivloi some Yisrael." Pari afflicted himself in order to be able to afflict the Yidden. But even Ari Miskenes the fire, and they built cities. The cities they built for Pari is Rav Shmuel Chada Meshem Misaknas. Why are they called Miskenes? Chada Meshem Misaknas is Baleim. It puts them. It puts their owners in danger that by the Egyptians making the Jews build these cities, the Egyptians ended up getting punished for that, so that put them in danger. Which means it makes their owners, the word memaskin, to deteriorate. They deteriorated. The Omar Mar, or it makes them poor, actually. Yeah, it makes them poor. The Omar Mar, kolo isik bebinyan. People who are builders, mismasken, they become poor. I don't know if that's... some of the builders I know are doing quite well. I forgot to tell Trigger Buff that whoever builds becomes poor. As Pisum, yes, Ramses. So what were the names of the cities that they built? Pisum and Ramses. Is Rav Shmuel, Chadam, or Pisum, Shmuel. That's one place. And its name is Pisum. V'lama nikra shmo Ramses, but it also had a second name. The second name was Ramses Sherishan Rishan Misroises, because each brick that they put one by one would fall off, and it would be very hard for them to build. V'charam Ramses shmo, its name is Ramses. V'lama nikra shmo Pisim Sherishan Rishan Peter Home Boiler, that each brick that they put was swallowed up by the depth. And then it says, "V'chasher ya'anuay soya," and as much as the Egyptians will afflict them, "kein yirbe," then they were even more fruitful, "v'chein yifreitz," and they became stronger. "Kein rob," after the Gemara, "kein rob v'chein parts," but that should be past tense. That as the Egyptians afflicted them, they became more and they became stronger. Why is it saying in future tense, "yirbe," and "yifreitz"? It's almost lakish, "ruach hakodesh v'asrasa," because that was still on the future. Ruach hakodesh came and said to the there was a sort of an announcement to the Egyptians, "Ken yirbe v'chein yifreitz," because Pari said, "pen yirbe," we should be smart, lest they will become too many. So the Eibishter answered, "No, ken yirbe," they will become many. Vayakutsu bnei bnei Yisrael, and they became disgusted because of all of bnei Yisrael. The bnei Yisrael were becoming more prevalent than the Egyptians, and the Egyptians got put off. They were xenophobic. To the Egyptians, they felt like thorns. And the Egyptians made the Bnei Yisrael work. Turn the page, beforech. So we translate beforech with cruelty when we learn it in kinder. Is what's beforech? Is Rav Elazar on reperach, with a soft mouth. In other words, when they first started off, they weren't slaves. When they first started off, it was, "Hey, we're offering you a job. How'd you like to be the builders?" And it was only later that eventually they got them into a slavery situation. So they started off being nice about it.
In the term in the army, never volunteer.
Never volunteer. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni Yomber Pricha. He says no, but Pricha means with rigor, with breaking the body. And then it says, Vayamoru as Chayeyim Bavayda Kosha Bechayim Avenim. They embittered their lives with hard work, with mortar and bricks. Vagaymer Amar Rava Betchila Bechaymer. First it was mortar. And then, levanim, and then mortar and with mortar and bricks. The safe, b'chalaveda basada, and then they made them do every sort of thing in the fields. So they started off with only giving them small jobs, and then they ended up having to do everything. Eis kalavedasam, all of their work, asher avdu behem, which they made the work, was beforech. It's again beforech. It's the second time. It says beforech twice there. It's amr abshu barachmeni amr penesan shemachlifim lechas anoshim lechas noshim la anoshim. They made the men do women's work, and they made the women do men's work. That was the cruelty, because that was something that they weren't used to. They made, Nowadays, people think it's compulsory to do that, but in those days, it wasn't acceptable. So the women were laying bricks and the men were darning socks. I don't know. Yeah? So that's what he says. And the Lamanza Omar Nami Hassan Beperach, according to the one who said before, that when it said Beforech the first time, it meant Beperach, with a soft mouth, that they talked to them nicely, but by the time Hacha Vade Bepricha, but by the time they got to this one, Vayavida Beforech, it was definitely talking about cruelty. Dara Shabavira, Beschar Noshim Tzidkani Yeshahiyah Baisya Dor, the reward of the righteous women in that generation, Nigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim, the Jews were redeemed from Egypt. But what did they do? B'shasha Halchus to Shev Mayim, when they went to draw water from the well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezamen Lehem Dogim Ketanim B'Kadayim. So God put little fish in their jugs when they pulled the water out of the well. The fish came in there. B'Shev Ais Mechza Mayim Mechza Dogim. So when they got their containers, they were half water and half fish. U'Bois V'Sev Seshtei Kedavis. So they went and put two pots on the fire. Achas Shochamin, one they boiled up hot water to have a cup of tea. But Achas Shaldogim, another one wants to have fish for lunch. So they took the fish and tea for lunch to their husbands in the field. And they washed them. Oh, the hot water was to wash them, besides the cup of tea. And they rubbed them. They gave them to eat. They gave them to drink. And they were then intimate with them underneath the borders, and there was found private places out in the fields where no one was around, and they were there with them. Shenemar, you lie down between, literally means between the lips, but it doesn't mean lips, bischar tishkevul ben tzvasoyim, for the reward of that, what the women did, zachu Yisrael, lebizas Mitzrayim, that's why the Jews got rewarded to take all the spoils of Egypt. Shenemar kan feyoino nechpo bekesef v'risa b'irak v'chorutz. The wings of a dove are covered in silver and its limbs in golden metallic, whatever it is, jade, I don't know. Yeah, so what does it mean? That they covered, the wings of the dove covered up. Yeah, so they were usually covered up, but when they went out in the fields, they were spending time with their husbands, so to say. The chavetz and misabres, and they would become pregnant. Boys the batayim, they would come home. So once they were pregnant, then they didn't need to go out in the fields anymore. But came in Shemagiyas Mamul Dayam, when it came time to give birth, Holchus v'yoldes besada, they would go back and give birth in the fields, tachas atapuach, under the apple tree. Shenemar tachas atapuach erartich, I awakened you under the apple tree. That means all the babies were born under the apple trees. V'kadosh Baruch Hu shaleich mishmei morim, and they didn't have any hospital facilities, and there was no doctors and midwives and whatever, so who helped them out? As Hashem sent from heaven, Misha Mankir, the one who would be Mankir, is the one who cuts the umbilical cord, or Mashpirei son, and he straightens out the limbs, Kechayazu, like normally a midwife does, Shemisha Peres, it's a vlad, that she straightens out the child, Shemar, Umaldesechel, B'yem Eledeseisach, and the one who helped you be born on the day that you, sorry, Moldesaych, it's female, B'yem Eledeseisach, on the day that you were born, like Karas, they didn't cut the cord and they didn't wash you in water, so there was no midwife around, so it was just God himself, and would collect for them two round blobs, I guess, one of oil and one of honey, should never be any keu devash misela, that he gave you to suckle honey from the rock and oil from the chalmish tzur, from a dried out flint. So they provided suddenly honey and oil out there for the babies. Once the Egyptians saw these babies, boil lahargo, the Egyptians came to kill them. Because Pharaoh made a decree, throw all the kids in the water. And a miracle happened. V'nivloin bekarka, and the babies were absorbed into the ground. And the men would bring the oxen and pretend they were working. They would bring the oxen and start plowing, so the Egyptians would think, well, there couldn't be any babies there because they're plowing the field and there's an ox there. On top of me, the plow was plowed. After the Egyptians left, they would bubble up, the babies bubbled back up to the surface and come out. Like grass in the field. Grew like the grass in the field. And once they got a bit bigger, they would come home, flocks of children. You were many and you you got bigger when you grew. And you came, Badei Adayim. What is Badei Adayim? Altikra Badei Adayim, Ela Be'edri Adorim, flock. So all these babies that were coming home, and there were more and more, the Jewish people was getting more and more. Uchshanigla Kashparach Walayom, when Hashem revealed himself on the Yamsuf, by the crossing of the Red Sea, hey, Mikirut Chela, those babies who were born in that way, they recognized Hashem. Shanem Razek, Kelev Yanveya, because they had already had the miracle when they were born, and they were used to it. So they said, oh, yeah, we remember you. You're the guy who pulled us out of the ground when we were lying underneath. The Egyptian king said to the Jewish midwives, Rav Shmuel Charamar Ishubita, the two midwives, one says it was a mother and a daughter, Charamar Kalav Chamaisa, it was a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. Mandomar Ishubita Yecheved and Miriam, the one who says the wife, the daughter and the mother, it was Yecheved and Miriam. Mandomar Kalav Chamaisa Yecheved Elisheva, the one who says a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law was Yecheved and Elisheva. Elisheva, of course, was the wife of Aaron, so it was the daughter-in-law of Yecheved. Tanya commanded Omar Ishubita, the Brisa goes like the one who says that it was the mother and daughter. The Tanya Shifra is a Yecheved. So everybody agrees that Shifra was Yecheved. So it says in the Chumash that their names were Shifra and Pua. Yeah, the names are given. So Shifra is Yecheved. Why was she called Shifra? Because she straightens out the baby when the baby is born and she makes it good. Shifra Shaparo Verabu Yisrael Biomeho. That in, because of her in her days, they were par of a rava, they were fruitful and multiplied. And Pua zu Miriam. Pua is Miriam, Pua, that she would what do you call it, coo. She would make nice sounds to make the child feel relaxed. Davar acher payash, she said payah b'ruach hakodesh, she talked, the lashon of talking, she talked b'ruach hakodesh v'yemeres, and she said, I see the imi, shatel et bein, she mashiach Yisrael, my mother is going to have a baby, he's going to be the savior of the Jewish people. And we will leave it over here.